I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted to be here to talk about IFRS 17, because I will declare a vested interest. I was heavily involved in the later stages of its development. So I think it's great that the paper is very pro-IFRS 17. What else should it be? I should also, I probably will say things that the board might not completely agree with. But anyway, so I want to structure...
Your views, not the board views.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, my views, not the board views. I'm going to structure the discussion to explain a bit where we are now with IFRS 17, because it's been effective for a few years now, and I want to explain what's going on. Briefly run through the takeaways from the paper and some observations. And then I do have lots and lots of suggestions for further work that academics could do on IFRS 17, you won't be surprised to hear. So IFRS 17, since publication, it was issued in 2017. Even when we issued it, we knew that it was likely that there would be amendments coming through, because the whole process of getting IFRS 17 finalised was very difficult. And part of the sort of compromise in being able to get it out was that we had said we would have a transition resource group, and that it was possible, even likely, that coming out of that we might make amendments to the standard, which is very unusual for the ISB to do that, but it was just part of the difficulty in getting this standard agreed. So we did indeed, we had a transition resource group, and we published amendments in 2020 before the standard was effective. We've then went into the interpretation committee phase, and actually we had quite a lot of questions and discussions coming to us, and the staff would talk about, is this an interpretations committee thing? There were in fact only three questions that went all the way through to the interpretations committee, and agenda decisions were issued on those. I think that process scared the industry off, and they decided actually they didn't want to know what we thought anymore about how this standard was going to work. They'd rather work it out for themselves. So there were just three. And then IFRS 17 is effective. Since then, we continue to have ad hoc queries coming in to us as staff. And we discuss them, we talk to people. Some of them raise really interesting points, and maybe we will pick them up in a PIR. Others are so shocking that I can't quite believe people are asking us about this, but we get the whole range. That is dying off now. We are getting very few queries. Again, I think many people have decided they don't want to know what we think. And that's right at this stage. The standard is out there. It has to live its own life. And the people who are responsible for implementing it and auditing it are the ones who need to use their judgment and make it work. IFRS 17 does have some interaction with other projects. So there's questions. IFRS 18, which is about financial statement presentation and disclosure, produced questions for insurers. Insurers, although, as very well explained, I thought, about the matching and the using current values, the volatility that's left is real volatility. Insurers don't actually see it that way. And I will talk a bit more about the complexity, which means they're very interested in the dynamic risk management project that the board has going. And eventually, we will get to the point of doing a PIR on IFRS 17. I'm hoping I might retire before that happens. I feel that's sort of backstop. But it is coming up to the time when we'll start thinking about when we should start doing a PIR, which means that we want research, please. So takeaways from the paper, it looks at the transition effects. I was actually particularly interested about the result of comparing the IFRS 4 and the IFRS 17 results for the 1 year you've got both figures. to see whether, you know, it does reduce the mismatches, and it's really good that it does seem to do that. So it is giving us insights, it's giving us early empirical evidence, and, you know, we will be looking at academic evidence when we do the PIR, and yes, please, keep it coming, keep research coming. I'll just move on, I think, to my observations. So the paper shows very clearly what we were intending with IFRS 17 in terms of reducing mismatches. If you use current value for your liabilities and you use current value, fair value for your assets, then the effect should offset. Of course, it is not quite that simple. And there is complexity there. It comes from, as you were talking, I was thinking about why do insurers still feel that there's volatility that they want to manage in some way? Some of it is that they hold more assets than they need to back the insurance contract liabilities in some sense because of capital adequacy requirements, things. So they've got excess assets, so they've got volatility on the asset side that is not matched by the liability side. Secondly, there is a reluctance to fair value all their assets, which, you know, personally speaking, I feel is a shame, but they say that it's not fair if they're being compared to banks. Banks don't fair value all their assets, so why should insurers have to fair value their assets? And that's what led to the OCI option, so that they could use some sort of fair value OCI approach on the liabilities to match what they do on the assets. There is also, because of the length of the insurance contracts, there's an unavoidable duration mismatch, which means that they do have interest rate risk of some sort going around. So there's quite a lot of complexity about the volatility, and I do believe IFRS 17 is a really big step forward, but it would be interesting to get more researched on whether the volatility that is still there, whether it's real volatility or whether it's because we haven't done enough to eliminate accounting mismatches. One detail point I was very interested in, there's a comparison of on transition. So in measuring an insurance contract, you have the cash flows, the present value of the cash flows. You have a risk adjustment, and you have the contractual service margin, which is like the unearned profit. And I was very interested to see, because these are subjective figures, so I was very interested to see where people were landing on that balance between the risk adjustment and the contractual service margin. And I was surprised that there was such a low risk adjustment compared to the contractual service margin. And I would be interested in further research, further data on that, because I would have thought insurers might have wanted to say, look, we're taking on all this risk. We're not actually making huge profits. We're taking on lots of risk. So that surprised me. It'd be good to find out why. I won't bother about my point on the fair value. I think I was just not following the paper very well about what was happening before under IAS 39. So, suggestions for future work. At one point in the paper, and I can't remember now what you say, but you talk about reinsurers. And reinsurers are even more of a mystery than insurance companies. And I think it would be great. I mean, they are covered by IFRS 17. Reinsurance contracts are covered. But it would be really good to see some dedicated work on reinsurance. There are, sadly, options in IFRS 17, in addition to the substantial options on transition. There are ones that continue. There's the OCI option, there's a risk mitigation option, and the premium allocation approach is a simplified approach for short-term contracts. It's also an option. So any work that could be done on identifying, you know, who's using these options, what's the outcome of these options, are they reducing comparability, that would all be really helpful for us. Again, my point that I was talking about, how do companies decide, you know, or how do they determine their risk adjustment compared to the contractual service margin when they're measuring new business? I mean, it's meant to be factual, but it's very subjective. And then patterns of the CSM release, and how are users reacting to the standard as well? Are they getting information that they find helpful? Would be good for us to know. And I've run out of time, so thank you. But thank you. I really, really like the paper.